Hi, and welcome to the Retro Gaming Dads podcast, episode number 3. In this episode, we'll be talking about the GameStop stocks and the Scott Pilgrim vs. the World Complete Edition finally coming back to modern consoles. With me today, I've got
Anthony.
And I'm Phil.
And first of all, I guess we should talk about the topsy-turvy world of GameStop stocks.
I think topsy-turvy's putting it lightly, flipping heck.
Well, originally we were just going to talk about them closing their physical presence, but obviously things have changed a little bit since then with the...
What, stocks all of a sudden shooting out through the roof?
Yeah, it went a bit crazy. Yeah, so basically they were, if anyone's, I'm not a financial expert by any stretch of the
imagination. Yeah, do not take anything that we say as financial advice, because we're all broke.
Do we need to give some sort of like warning that goes along with this saying, please be aware we are not financial experts and do not take anything this to heart?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just said it. Thank you. So these big hedge fund guys with lots and lots of money were doing this thing called shorting, where basically you buy stock from, well, don't buy it, you borrow stock from other people and then sell it and then make the money crash and buy it back for cheap. That's the gist of it. Now, a bunch of retail investors decided that, you know what, they were fed up with that and went to a Reddit subreddit, and the internet collectively decided, you know what, let's make the man with lots of money pay more money, and we made GameStop stock, that's going to be a mouthful, skyrocket. I think yesterday it was hitting $300+ per stock. And
well, yeah, in the last week, it's gone from $45 up to $468 at the high when I just checked a few moments ago.
Yeah, it's gone crazy.
So do they just basically go, can we have your help, please? Help us take over the stock market. And then I bet your Wall Street's pulling their hairs out now.
Well, yeah, these hedge fund managers that have bet this money on these shorts, they've lost billions. I think roughly $13 billion so far.
Well, I think I was talking to Barry earlier, and he was saying that Wall Street alone this month has lost $89 billion or something like that. Over...
I believe it was about $200 billion. This isn't just on the GameStop stocks, though.
Oh, fucking hell.
Well, they've been targeting some other stocks as well, apparently.
Yeah, I believe BlackBerry was one of them.
AMC, I think, was another.
Yes, AMC. Yeah.
So with those stocks going crazy, you'd think that, you know, it's the free market doing what the free market should be doing. No, what's happened is these big traders have got inclusion, I suppose, with the brokers, who've then said, yeah, unless you're on our list of accepted people to buy and sell these particular stocks, you can't do it.
But you can guarantee if it was the other way around, if people were buying the stocks and pushing the price up and making them money, they'd be all in for it.
Oh, well, truly.
Oh, 100%. It's only because they're losing it. They're going, oh, no, what can we do? And they're just making everyone, well, they're putting a pause through it, aren't they?
Well, and truly, yeah.
Well, yeah, as soon as they start losing money, they don't like it anymore.
Well, can you imagine if Wall Street did crash?
Well, it's... The last time Wall Street crashed, though, it was these exact trading... scams, if you will, not scams really, but these trading shorts, these risky, but legal.
They're legal, but they're pretty unethical, aren't they?
Yeah. Basically, it's banking on companies failing. So, like, one of the reasons why GameStop was probably targeted is because they've decided to close in all of their physical presence, because online obviously is the way to go now, and they're struggling to compete with the big online retailers. So that's probably what caused the initial shorts in the first place.
But unfortunately, the thing is, although this seems great for GameStop at the moment, this, in the long term, isn't really going to help them, though, as a company.
Well, no, it's not actual money in the books. It's just... Yeah. This is one thing I've never understood about the stock market, and in particular, trading on companies' perceived value. It's not real value. This is very much an inflated amount of money. And a lot of people... A lot of just general working people that are putting their savings on the line to try and back this could potentially heavily lose out.
Another thing as well, this isn't just isolated to America. GameStop is all around the world. Even over here in the UK, people are putting money down on these stocks.
Well, talk about GameStop, isn't GameStop, you know, basically the largest gaming company in the world, really.
A gaming retailer, yeah.
Sorry, gaming retailer.
Yeah, but...
like, we don't have them in the UK, but they are in Ireland.
But they are online, though, so, you know, you could still order stuff online through them, even though, you know, it might be import tax and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Not anymore, you won't. Not now we've left the EU.
No.
Cost too much.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different kettle of fish that I'm just not going to get involved in.
Yeah, that's beyond the scope of this podcast.
Oh, yes.
let alone not being, you know, financially minded, let alone, you know, that end of it. Not touching it.
Yeah. So it's got to the point now where... the White House is getting involved and Congress are getting involved and talking about it.
Yeah, well, at the moment, I see that they're just monitoring the situation from what I've seen.
Yeah. Though I can imagine there's going to be some class action lawsuits flying around as well. Because, you know, if...
a lot of backlash.
Well, yeah, I mean, if these companies that are supposed to be brokers and allow anybody to buy stocks in an open free market saying, yeah, it's open and free as long as you've got money and you're doing what we want you to do, I can see that going badly for them in a legal sense.
You can do whatever you want with your hard-earned money as long as it's what we say you can do and I'll make us more money. Yeah.
This is a free country, but you can't do that. Or that.
Yeah, well, they say, oh, well, you know, what you could do is you could always invest your money and spend it wisely and make more money. No, don't do it like that. We don't want you doing it like that. That's the wrong way of doing it. You're making too much money and making us lose money.
So GameStop is a bit in the air at the minute.
Oh, yes.
With the stocks pumped in, they ain't going high. And so it's just kind of like, we don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
For now.
So with it looking like they're going to close... the physical presence. Do you think that's going to be something that's going to be good?
I've got to admit, I think this probably stems to a larger issue in retail, particularly at the minute. I mean, they've been battling the internet for a while, and it's been a losing battle. Though, these past couple of years, especially last year, has been almost the final nail for the high street, if you will, and
It does feel like GameStop has been floundering for much longer than this current situation's been going on.
Definitely.
And it seems like every year they're trying to reinvent themselves, becoming like land centres for people to go and have land competitions, or becoming more like fashion-based or more trinket-based.
You've got to.
I don't want to see... place like Game Go though, because I like going to shops, I like browsing, I like picking up. I don't want it all just going online.
If they are going to survive, they've got to evolve, they've got to change, they've got to do something to draw people in. It can't just be the same old, here's a load of games, buy your latest hardware here. Because I got my Series X from Smiths, a large retailer here in the UK. However,
but they're just more of a toy retailer, aren't they? They're not even a gaming retailer, because I got my Xbox from Smiths as well.
Yeah.
And in the UK, most of the game stores have even moved into sports stores, haven't they?
Sports Direct.
Well, the thing I was going to say, even though it was a retail storefront, I bought it online and I just went in and collected it.
Well, yeah, it's exactly why I did with mine.
So I think places like Argos are going to do well in these shifting markets.
Because the click and collect devs are now.
Exactly. Argos, for anyone who's listening that isn't from the UK, and basically you buy your goods online and then you just go in and you literally collect them from the counter. Or you can go in the store, look through the catalogue, find the number, write it down, and again, pick up your items. I think it's going to be more warehouse style shops like that in the future.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, like the days of going into, like when I was a child, it was Electronics Boutique and Game Zone, and then later on Game and Game Station.
Blockbusters.
Just going in and looking through the games, it's... I do think that's just something that's going to die off.
In all fairness, looking at it, a lot of, you know, like Game and Blockbuster, where they're here and other places like that, quite heavily relied on trade-ins and selling trade-ins, and thus the word make a big profit in it. If they go online, you know, how it, because I like to go in and look at the trading shelf. I'm not really fussing anymore, if I'm honest. I don't necessarily go in and look at the trading as well as you used to. Now, you can quite often get them cheaper on your Xbox, you know, as a digital copy sort of thing.
I'm gonna come forward and say that Microsoft, as crap as Don Matrick was, ahead of his time, you know, digital trade-ins. Just going to put it out there.
Yeah. Mm. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the convenience of digital games.
You mean not changing desks?
However, well, yeah, I'm too lazy to get up and change a desk. But there is something about having a physical game. All my Switch games are physical.
Yes.
Whereas 99% of my Xbox games are all digital now.
I've got to admit, with physical games, it's mainly when I'm buying something for my son.
For me, it's if it's like a special edition or something that I particularly want, or it's a game that I know I want to keep. Yeah. You know, it's a special game that I know that if I buy it digitally, I might be like, yeah, it's cool digitally, but like, there's a really cool collector's edition of that version I really want. Like, the last collector's edition I got was Mass Effect Andromeda, because I absolutely love the Mass Effect series, and I've got a little diecast car, which is sat on my shelf, and I love, you know, it, and that, for me, special edition games is what I want.
See, I've never been one for special editions, really, and when it comes to physical games, I remember my Xbox One, I didn't realise that the disc tray was broken, and it must have been broken for a good 6 months, because I went and bought a game for my son, put it in to install it for him, and was like, wait a minute, the drive don't work. Is it the disc? Tried a bunch of discs, didn't read any of them.
While we're on the topic of like physical games and special editions, one game that I have actually just purchased special edition for is the new Scott Pilgrim vs. the World Complete Edition for the Switch.
Have you got it yet?
I have not got it. I got it from Limited Run Games, which I believe is based in the US, so it's going to take a little while.
Wasn't there some controversy around the those guys and Scott Pilgrim and a couple of other games?
I don't know. It's news to me.
I
know they had some over Streets of Rage 4.
Well, right,
because it was implied that they were the only guys that you could get the physical version of Streets of Rage 4 from, but then other companies in different territories started releasing it as well.
That must be what I'm thinking.
It was a bit ambiguous, the wording, let's say.
But yes, Scott Pilgrim, brilliant game. I really enjoyed that on the 360.
Well, I've also bought it digitally on the Xbox One, so I'm getting it physical on the Switch, digital on the Xbox. And I have played through it. I must say, I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest.
Really? Why is that?
It's okay. The game itself, don't get me wrong, the game itself's great. You've not actually played it, have you, Anthony?
No.
Right, but you have played River City Girls, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so it's very similar to that. So it's side-scrolling, beat 'em up, again, like Streets of Rage 4. Go around. But you also level up your character, unlock new moves, you can collect money to buy items and skills. I just feel that the conversion to the Xbox One and Series X was a little bit sloppy. I've noticed an awful lot of graphical issues, audio issues. I've got it quite a lot where sound effects will just disappear. So I'll have the music playing and I might have some sound effects, but the majority of them have gone.
Okay.
And so it's just, it really does take the shine off what is a really great game.
I guess it kind of breaks the game up for you as such.
Yeah, it's nothing game-breaking, but it does break your immersion in the game that you suddenly realise, oh yeah, it's a game. It just pulls you out of it.
See, that is a shame.
You're like, oh, it's missed this, or why is that not there? Or it kind of feels lackluster, if you know what I mean.
Yes, it just feels like there wasn't a lot of effort put in.
Yeah, it is a shame, though, because I remember the original actually being pretty well polished.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Again, it's 99% of the way there, but considering people have been asking for this for 10 years, people haven't even been able to play it since 2014 when it was taken down from the digital storefronts.
Well, only if you had a physical copy.
Well, this is the first time you've ever been able to get a physical copy.
Okay.
It was only ever released digitally, so once it was taken down, unless you still had your old PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360 and you'd previously purchased it, you couldn't never play it again. So it's not on backwards compatibility with Xbox One. So the only way I could play it, or Phil could play it, is pull out a 360, download it, or have it already and downloaded. If we hadn't purchased it, that's it, you've lost your chance.
They might release a patch to fix the issues.
I'm sure they will.
And also your Switch might not.
As I say, it's not game-breaking by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, it definitely took the shine off it.
It breaks the fluidness of the game?
It breaks suspension of disbelief.
There we go.
You know, like at one point I was fighting a group of enemies and I kept getting hit and I was really confused why I was being hit. And then it dawned on me, one of the enemies was completely invisible. It wasn't showing the sprite of the enemy.
See, back in the olden days, that's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah. That'd be a new enemy variant, wouldn't it? Oh, you've unlocked the secret stealth hoodie guy.
You can't see him because he's invisible.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, the new version, as the name implies, Complete Edition, it does have all the DLC and online play from the original DLC for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah, that's one thing that always irked me with that. It was a game that very much felt multiplayer orientated that lacked multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, it had co-op. And I think at the time, bear in mind this was 2010, so it was an Xbox Live Arcade game. It was something that wasn't a big title. So I think it could get away with it. I'm glad they added it. I just wish you didn't have to pay for it afterwards.
Yes. It was more the fact that it was paid for DLC.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong. I would have bought the DLC for the extra two characters anyway. I believe it was Knives and... I forgot the name of his roommate.
Wasn't it like Kevin or Greg or something like that?
Wells? Wallace Wells, I think it
Steve.
Was.
Steve.
I'm pretty like certain it's Wallace. It's nice to have it all in one bundle. I say, I bought it on the Switch physically because... Well, if history's taught us anything, it's get Scott Pilgrim, get it physically.
Well, also, how does it come?
Sorry?
Explain what it comes in, because it comes in a special case, isn't it?
It does. It comes in a very Sonic Adventure-inspired design. So I'll have to put a few pictures up in the show notes, but if anyone's played Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast... they'll instantly recognise the two reversible covers that you can get, one for the standard edition and one for the limited edition. The limited edition also comes in a Sega Mega Drive clamshell, so it can go right along with all your other Mega Drive or Genesis games, and no one will be none the wiser.
And be honest, that's the main reason you got it.
Until they try to play it.
Until they try and play it, yes.
Yeah.
Well... do you think these type of games are starting to make a comeback? Because obviously, last year we had Streets of Rage 4, Battletoads, River City Girls. We've just had Paprium on the...
You've also got the Wonder Boy games as well, haven't you?
It's just nice to have a bit more variety and a lot of these older genres starting to come back and not just the latest fad. You know, how many arena shooters came out a couple of years ago with Overwatch? How many?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I couldn't even name half the ones that have already died off.
Well, yeah, I mean, Lawbreaker.
You just had Fortnite come out, and again, you have...
Yeah, well, there was one called Lawbreakers that came out for the PlayStation 4, and the servers have been turned off.
I believe Lawbreakers, was that by one of the original guys from...
Gears of War guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, it shut down after about a year. That's how well that did. Then there was, I think it was like Battleborn, which was a Borderlands-esque one from the Gearbox.
That's still going, I think.
It is, yeah.
Well, another one that's still going, but
they're not,
you probably
they're not
don't know about Paladins
traction.
As well.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
Paladins, yeah. Paladins is a good one. I played it for a short time. I enjoyed it, but, you know, you have to buy all the different characters now. I'm like, I don't want to buy the characters.
But even that's not the flavour of the month anymore. The flavour of the month at the minute is the...
Smite was one as well.
Yes, well, no, Smite was more of a MOBA-style game.
Yes, I really enjoyed Smite. I spent so many hours on that game.
Yeah, I'd say that particular niche has moved on, and it's now onto the Battle Royale-style games.
Mm. Which you mentioned, you know, Fortnite started off, but before that was PUBG.
Yes, it was.
Well, yeah.
So, PUBG's still going strong.
It's still going strong, but it's definitely lost the limelight to Fortnite, hasn't it?
Fortnite's taken it mainly because of all the base building and all the things you could do while you're fighting.
I think it comes down less less about the base building and everything and more about the polish. When they were both out and new about the same time, PUBG was still an early release. It was still a very rough game. Frame rate spikes all over the place. Lots of issues with it. Whereas Fortnite was quite well polished. And I think that had a lot more going for it. Like Warzone is doing incredibly well because, again, yes, it's a lot more polished.
Yeah. But again, because, you know, well, it's Call of Duty, it's brought in a lot of the normal Call of Duty players straight into it as well.
But yeah, no, it is nice to see some older genres coming back, like the side-scrolling beaters.
But yeah, it's because retro gaming too, over the last, say, decade or so, has essentially just been 2D platformers.
Yeah. Well, you've also had some nice Metroidvania-style games as well, like with Bloodstained.
Yeah, I must admit, because currently we're all running actually through Castlevania Symphony of the Night, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So we're playing a game that maybe we've not all played or not played in a while, once a month, and for January we decided Castlevania. So I take it you guys are still enjoying that?
Well, yeah. I always enjoy Castlevania. I have completed it many times.
I'm getting absolutely battered. But otherwise, yeah, not too. No, I know, I am really enjoying it. It is a fun game. And the biggest thing for me is when we're talking about, you know, this style genre's coming back in, if you think about it, it's a new generation of people who are picking these sorts of games up who haven't played them before at all.
Yeah, because you'd never played Castlevania Symphony of the Night before, had you?
No, I hadn't. And that's the thing. I'm picking this up, and because we played Dragon Mark for Death on the Switch, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed that. And so I've been really enjoying those sorts of games. So playing Castlevania, I'm really enjoying playing Castlevania because it's the same style of game. And again, like I said, it's a whole new generation that's missed out on these sorts of games who now they're being redone and brought into the newer era, I guess. They're all like, this is actually a fantastic game genre. You know, I've never played something like this before.
Well, you say you played Dragon Mark for Death, which we've all played together. That still hasn't got like exploration elements that you get in Castlevania.
I wouldn't call that a Metroidvania game for the one simple fact that it doesn't have that exploration that they pretty much all have.
Yeah, it's nice that there are new genres being pushed, especially in like the retro style games. I would love to see more Metroidvania style games coming out. Last one I played would have been Chasm.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one as well.
Yeah, which again is, it's almost like a love letter to Symphony of the Night. It feels like it plays so close to it, even with your little hop slashes to get your extra hit in and everything.
Yeah, well, I think Symphony of the Night in particular kind of almost, it was almost the iPhone of that genre. It sort of took everything that was already existing there and made it work really well. And now everyone that comes out that is a Metroidvania follows quite closely the Symphony of the Night style, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's got an excellent template, though, to follow.
Oh, damn right it does. Brilliant game. And don't even get me started on the music. Oh.
Yeah, it's got some good music.
Yeah, and you know, just took me a while ago and listen to the Tragic Prince again.
Yeah, well, let's not talk too much about it, because we'll have nothing to talk about on our next podcast when we discuss it.
Third point.
Yes.
That's a bit of a teaser for what's coming up in the next podcast as well. So really, what we're saying is we need more retro-style Metroidvania games, yeah?
Pretty much.
Basically, yes.
Is that the conclusion of this podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, on that note, thank you both for ripping yourself away from whatever you were doing to do our podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We love you guys.
Okay, right. Well, have a good one, and we'll be back next week with our thoughts on Castlevania Symphony of the Night.